6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." And suddenly when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, grace and peace to you all from God our Creator, his only Son, Jesus Christ, and our eternal guide, the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a joy for me to be with you this morning. And fun, I was telling the 8:30, I've never seen a jazz service before. I think it's so awesome that you guys do something a little different. So much fun. And I was at King of Glory a year ago for Campus Ministry Sunday, if some of you remember me. And it was so much fun to, you know, getting to preach, share fellowship with everyone, and bring some attention to the important role that campus ministry plays in the life of our church. Today, I bring you greetings from your siblings in Christ at Lutheran Campus Ministry. We serve Colorado State University and Front Range Community College. I'm a senior this year at CSU. I'll be graduating in May with an engineering degree. And looking back, this ministry has been such an important part of my college career. It's helped me rediscover who I am as a Lutheran, a Christian, and a person. And I would just like to thank King of Glory for everything, for the wonderful home-cooked meals that people provide every week, for the financial support, and just for being such a wonderful congregation. The world needs more places like King of Glory that are welcoming and open to everyone. So, on to the readings. In today's Old Testament lesson, I started to read it, and there's all this talk of double portions of spirits, whirlwinds, and everything else. And when I tried to read this, I became confused. This is what's so hard about the Old Testament. I sat in what I call Old Testament reader's block. All this cryptic language, people's unrelatable lifestyle. I mean, really, they're just kind of walking around the desert and visiting people in tents. It seems kind of weird, but you do you, I guess. But the key with the Old Testament is just to kind of break through all that, look at what's happening in the story. So that's what I did. So we have these two people. We have Elijah and Elisha, and they're on a journey together. And it seems like everyone except Elijah knows he's going to get taken up into heaven. Kind of seems like the worst-kept secret on this side of the Jordan. However, even though everyone knows this, Elisha sticks with his master through the whole thing, saying, "As surely as the Lord lives, I will not leave you." How many of you have ever been on a journey? The answer is everyone. Everyone's on a journey. As one of my favorite theologians, Prince, says, we are all here to get through this thing called life. Life is a journey. I'm finishing up a journey called college, and King of Glory is on a journey as a community of faith. And I think every journey calls upon its traveler to do three things: to reflect on the past, to be fully present in the now, and to look ahead with hope and sometimes uncertainty into the future. In today's gospel, when Jesus takes his disciples up onto the mountain and he becomes this dazzling white, he's not doing it to show off, because I hope by now we've figured out that showing off isn't really Jesus' style. He's giving the disciples and us a chance to do those three things required of us, because we are travelers on a journey with Christ. We're just ending the season of Epiphany. Today, Christ has been born in Bethlehem. He's been recognized as the Savior of humankind. He's been presented in the temple. He's been baptized. And now, on Transfiguration Sunday, we are given the chance to reflect on this amazing life of Jesus so far, to be present in this moment with the radiant Christ on the mountaintop, and to look ahead at the even more profound journey that is to come. On Wednesday, we'll officially begin Lent with Ash Wednesday. Put the cross on your forehead and ponder your mortality and prepare to follow Jesus to the cross. It's kind of a scary thought, right? I mean, we're about to start on a journey that physically ends with the trial, brutal torture, and crucifixion of Jesus. But that's the promise of God, is that at the end of these long, arduous journeys is hope, the resurrection. And we'll witness this resurrection on Easter. We get a sneak preview of it today with Elijah. You think he was just taken away in a whirlwind at the end of the lesson and that was it? Of course not. He reappears today to give witness to the resurrection to come. If you've noticed, people are always reappearing in the Bible. I think there's some characters who seem to never leave us alone. Take Moses, for example. He physically dies way back in the book of Deuteronomy, but we see him reappear twice in today's readings. Elijah takes his mantle, parts the waters of the Jordan. This is clearly a gift that he's inherited of Moses, who parted the waters of the Red Sea. And then Moses reappears with Elijah and Jesus again on top of the mountain in the gospel reading. These people that are part of our journeys, the journeys we're on, they're interconnected, and they're more complex than we could ever imagine. And we describe this every week in the Apostles' Creed, and we call it the communion of saints. This spiritual union of members of the church, both living and dead, allows us to share in each other's successes and triumphs and pain in each other's failings. And when I say members of this church, I mean everyone. Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Jesus, you, me. And as we go on these spiritual journeys, we receive guidance from and provide guidance to the members of this communion. So as I said, I'm graduating in the spring, and as I'm reflecting on everything I've experienced and everything I've accomplished over the last 4 years, there's still something that I struggle with. And I have a hard time letting go of all the memories and all the experiences that I've had at Lumen. But the comfort that I'm offered is that I have this wonderful communion of saints to carry on my burdens and my triumphs and to make them better and turn them into something great. When I showed up at Lumen 4 years ago, I was a lonely freshman, I was exhausted, and I don't know about you, I'm a total introvert, and Welcome Week at CSU had way too many loud noises and activities for me to process. And so, being the good Lutheran that I am, I closed it all out by going to church. I walked out over in the muggy August air to this weird Pizza Hut-shaped building on Shields, you saw it, only to be greeted by smiling faces that sat down next to me, handed me a hymnal, and for the next hour, participated alongside me in the reading of the word, sharing of the peace, and the breaking of the bread, just as you all do every Sunday. And over time, I learned from these people. They became my friends. I built community with them in worship services and around the dinner table. I laughed and I cried with them. I asked them for advice. I studied the Bible with them. I complained about the church to them. I argued politics with them. And now that I'm graduating, I can only hope and pray that those who come after me will do the same. And when I show up at my next church after I graduate, I'm going to start this process all over again. My point is that everyone goes on journeys like this. Everyone experiences this cycle of getting comfortable with where you're at and who you're with, only to have it rudely interrupted and having to start all over again. And this is never easy. These journeys are difficult, meandering, and I think sometimes they just make you want to give up. But thank God that we have our mentors, friends, and our wonderful communion of saints to help us along. So, on this Transfiguration Sunday, I'd invite you to do three things. Be present with Christ and reflect on the journeys that you have been on in your life and look forward into the future. What institutions have you been a part of that just didn't work, and which ones have you been a part of that fulfilled all your hopes and dreams? What impact have you made on the lives of others along the way, and who has impacted you? And once you've finished reflecting on this, prepare yourselves for the journeys ahead, all of them, for all their challenges, joys, moments of heartache, moments that give you life, moments that make you laugh, cry, smile, cringe, and breathe a sigh of relief. And just know this one thing, that whatever journey lies ahead, God always promises us the hope of the resurrection at the end. Amen.